As you can tell this morning, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to just share a passage of scripture that we share each and every time we come and take of this Lord's Supper out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And just let you know, we're going to have invitation after that, and then I'm going to spend a few minutes before we have the Lord's Supper in our text for today, and then we will have the Lord's Supper, so just a little bit of different order than normal. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, and you can read along on the screen, and we see the text that we commonly look at when we come to the supper, the Apostle Paul, he writes, he says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We see in this passage of Scripture that reminder that as we come together and we take this supper, as often as we take it about every 3 months here on an average, but it can be done every week if a church would so desire. It is as often as you take it. And we notice that we celebrate the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it calls us to remember what was done on our behalf by Jesus. We don't get past it. It is an event in history that has affected our life profoundly by Jesus paying the price for our sin. We never get past the love of Christ, the love of our Lord, by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. So we come and we celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. And you notice we says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Many people do not want us to proclaim the death. They want to hear everything else about Christ rather than the death and what was required to pay the price for our sin. We spoke in our Sunday school class this morning about those preachers that are oftentimes on television and have the big smiling faces and don't want to address the issue of sin. Sin is horrible. As we read earlier in the service, we find out that it is what has separated us from God. It is what the wages, what we deserve, is hell because of our sin. And the only way that there is eternal life is accepting the gift of the Lord and what was done on the cross. That's the only way we have the gift of eternal life, is by the price that was paid on the cross. So this morning, as you take that bread, just a simple piece of bread, but you remember the agony that Christ went through on our behalf. And that's just the physical. Not to mention that every weight of sin was upon him on our behalf. Then if you take the juice and the shed blood, the cleansing that takes place because of the blood. We continue on within the text. In verse 27, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So understand, it's not that we come because we are worthy. There is none of us here that is worthy to take the supper. There is none of us that is worthy that Christ would die on the cross for us. We come in a worthy manner. We come not with sin that is unconfessed. We don't come with a lack of humility. We come humbly before the Lord. We come repentant before the Lord as we take the supper. We come in a worthy manner. Notice what happened to those that did not. Verse 30, he says, "That's why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died? If we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So there were those that were in taking of this supper, and they weren't taking it of a worthy manner. And there were those that you noticed that were weak, they were ill, they were sick. And what happened to some of them? They died. It's not because they were worthy to take the supper, but it's the way that they approached it. And many of them were taking it, and it was an opportunity just for fellowship and to be able to eat and things of that nature. But this is an opportunity to reflect on what Christ has done for us in a worthy manner, as best as we can, coming with repentant, humble hearts before the Lord. We understand that many times we offer this supper, and you may have come this morning not realizing that it was going to take place and didn't prepare your heart before you came to this place this morning. So as is tradition within our church, we have an invitation, an opportunity for you to have to pray and to repent where you are at, to respond to the Lord. Maybe there's some area of arrogance within your heart that you're not coming with in an humble way, that there is known sin that you have not repented of. We'll give you that opportunity during this invitation to repent of that sin. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And maybe even today, as you've just heard the message of the gospel, that we're deserving of hell and that Jesus paid the price that we owe on the cross for our sin. And you realize how awful your sin is and your need of Christ. And maybe even right now, you need to respond to accept Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I encourage you to do that today. Even after the service, if God is dealing with your heart, grab me or somebody else within the church, and I guarantee you we will sit down and share with you what God's Word has to say. This morning we're going to spend just a few minutes back into Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. We're not going to preach the whole message. Amen? All right, I figured I'd get a few. We will come back to it next week, all right? But I want us to take and just to read the text that we'll be really using next week and spend a few minutes within it before we take the supper. But Paul, he's writing, he says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Man, doesn't that go along with the song we just sang? Amen. It says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead." As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see these five verses. We see that Jesus is referred to nine times, either by the pronouns or by Christ Jesus, something along those lines. Just the emphasis that Paul has on Jesus. And we see that him looking at all of the accomplishments of his life, he considers them to be nothing. What are your accomplishments in this life? Now, I can look at my life. I've got a master's degree. I barely got a bachelor's degree. I barely got a high school diploma. Got a wonderful family. Gotten bigger in the last year and a half or so. Man, my family at home. I'm an OU Sooner fan. Some of you all can identify with another. I'm born an Okie. I'm an Okie at heart. We have many things that we would consider gain within this life. As you know, I married far above my head. So many things. I'm so proud to be an American. I'm proud of my country. I'm proud of being a Southern Baptist. Paul names off the things here in this text. He's circumcised on the eighth day. The tribe of Benjamin, we looked at last week, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And you notice within the text in verse 8, it says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You see, all the accomplishments that he had had within his life, the languages that he had spoken, all of the persecution that he would have even gone through up to this point, everything that is spoken well of him, the great apostle Paul, the great things that have happened because of his heritage, because of all of his sincerity, all of these things are rubbish. You go and you read those that write about this passage, and the word is not just rubbish. Rubbish, they say the word gets down to the point of poop. Sorry. All of the accomplishments of you and I and of our life compared to Christ are nothing. And what has taken place in our life because of Christ. This morning we come and we remember because of Christ and the sacrifice that was made for us on the cross. Everything else is rubbish. You start get to the point of thinking very highly of yourself and all of the accomplishments that you have and all the things that God has granted to you, and start thinking of yourself as greater than you are. Remember, your stuff is nothing apart from Christ Jesus. You see, it is only in Him. We read in, as we said, we'll come back, but I want us to look at this text in Romans chapter 3. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. It's for those of us that believe in Christ Jesus and profess Him as Savior and Lord. There is no distinction. But what? We've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. But we are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for His blood to be received by faith. The payment that was made on the cross, we never forget about it. It was fulfilled the law of what we could not pay, the wages that we owe by Jesus on the cross. Notice, this was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, it is Jesus that is our righteousness. And we come and we stop and we celebrate Him and the sacrifice and the payment on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As you remember the broken body and the shed blood, He was made sin for you. Never forget. Get arrogant. What's your arrogance? Rubbish. rubbish. Christ is all. What a joy we have to come together this morning and to celebrate this Lord's Supper together. This morning we'll take this supper in just a moment. The men will come to serve it. I encourage you, if you're here this morning, if you never accepted Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, I encourage you not to take this supper. This supper is not for you. This is for those that have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior within their life. And it is a proclamation of the death of Jesus that has saved us. If you don't know Christ, it's a picture of what was done for you, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. I encourage you to take it in a worthy manner as you take the supper. Hopefully those things are taken care of even in the time of invitation this morning.